Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, welcome to New Life Live. And we have, if you're watching on YouTube, you're very fortunate because we have not only people that are dressed colorfully, but colorful people that are joining us in the studio, Carl and Cindy Jenkins. Hi guys, how are you?
We're great. Thank you.
So since this is December 30th, and you guys have been so supportive of New Life, and you're just coming by to say hello, tell us about your experience with New Life, or why you support New Life, or just anything you want to talk about. I'm just so happy to see you. It's so fun whenever you show up somewhere.
I know. I'm just like amazed. I wish everybody could see them. I feel like we have like the reindeer, Santa's reindeers here with us.
No, I'm Cindy Lou Who.
Yes.
But you guys have been such great encouragers and supporters, and I just am so thankful that you're part of us. And you guys are in a successful second marriage.
Yes,
right?
We are.
Yeah. And how long have you been married?
Almost 100 months.
100 months.
Seriously?
We celebrate month-iversaries, not anniversaries.
Aww. And you do a lot of things like that. One of the things Carl does, Carl and I have something in common, that both of us, the title of the movie of our lives could be Good Will Hunting. And he takes these homemade ice cream freezers that he gets at Goodwill, and then you teach people how to make homemade ice cream, right?
I do.
I love that.
I love homemade ice cream.
Yeah, it's a wonderful ministry. Okay, so tell us how you got involved in New Life, or why you've been so supportive of New Life, and I'm just telling you, we're grateful for you guys so much.
Well, actually, Steve, I read your book, Toxic Faith, many years ago. That was really eye-opening, and just to see the toxic faith environment that I was in with my first husband, really. And I think that he never survived it, even though we got out of that.
Yeah.
But then in 2006 is when he said, you know what, I don't want to be married to you anymore. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we'd been married almost 32 years, and so this was quite a shock to me.
Oh, I bet.
So then I started going through so many of your other books. I can't even think of all of them, but How We Love, you know, Mylan and Kay's book.
Oh,
that
absolutely.
Was eye-opening to me.
It really is.
For the 8 years in between my first husband and now, not my first, but my favorite husband, there was that amount of time where I just had to do that recuperation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, but New Life Ministries has been pivotal in all that, just all the resources that you have. I've really been appreciative of them.
Thank you for sharing that. I love to hear when people are benefiting from toxic faith, because there are so many healthy churches. It's been so great to hear people say, well, someone gave this to me because they thought I was in a church that wasn't doing the right things, and then they found a healthy church. Carl, what about you?
Well, when I first met Cindy in 2011, and then after we got married, I would be driving up to our vacation home about 2 hours away from our house, and Cindy would hand me a CD and say, you should listen to this. I had never heard of New Life. So finally one day I plugged in the CD and I kept hitting reverse. What? What? Because I was learning so much, and it was so intriguing to listen to that monthly CD. And of course now I listen regularly. That was my introduction to New Life, and it's just a wonderful organization.
Well, thanks for sharing that. Thanks for you guys dropping by. You are very loved, appreciated, and respected here. And hope our paths cross again real soon.
Thank you.
You too.
1-800-229-3000. We'll be back right after this message.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. So great to be with them. If you want to support us, I'll tell you, we are so grateful anytime someone supports us. We'll send you this new devotional, 100 Days to Freedom from Depression, our way of saying thank you for doing that. All right, let's go to, how about Laura, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, WFIL. Hi.
Oh, hi. Hi. Great. Thanks for taking my call. I listen to you all the time, and I really appreciate all of your wonderful advice. I have, my husband and I are, we are dealing with a daughter who, she's living this gay lifestyle, and she is, we thought she would, you know, kind of grow out of this, and, you know, she comes from a Christian home, and so we believe, you know, in a marriage between a man and a woman, and, you know, we just thought she would grow out of it, and she hasn't, and it just seems to be having such a negative impact on our family. You know, she's still, you know, dating women, and it's just, it's really, it's heartbreaking, and not that I have anything against, you know, like this, you know, gay in general,
yeah,
but
right.
It's just heartbreaking. We feel such a loss. It just seems such a loss to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so sorry you're going through that, and is there a specific question that you want us to help you with? The biggest thing on your mind that, what would that be?
Well, I guess, you know, we don't know how to not let this impact our relationship with her, because I feel like it is. You know, we're starting to grow weary, you know, losing hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just, how do we not let it, you know, other parents, like some of the women she has been with, their families seem more accepting, like it's okay, and we're just, we haven't reached that point, and we just don't feel that it's okay.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Are you aware of when this started, or what was... did she have an experience with somebody, or what does she say about the origins of all this?
Well, it seems to have started in high school, and I think she did have maybe a young man in high school maybe tried to take advantage of her, and I think she may have been hurt by that, but she played volleyball, and she's always been around a lot of women. She went to a Division I school and played volleyball, and so I don't know if that had any impact. So I honestly, I don't know if it was one particular person or woman or young girl, you know, that got her on this path, but she has a very loving family, and it's just getting harder. Really.
But is it something... Well, sorry, Steve. Is it something that you guys can even talk about in your family? I mean, does she know that you're struggling, despite the fact, obviously, you love her, but that you're wrestling with it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can it be? Yeah, can there be open dialogue? Because that's the thing, to not... that's the thing on both sides, right? And Steve, you have always said this. It's okay, she wants to be accepted, but you guys also deserve acceptance where you're at. And to be able to name what's true for both of you and not have to tie a nice, neat bow around it, right, and have a conclusion. This is where a lot of times in life, we have to let go of the outcome. And first and foremost is, where is her heart for Jesus? Right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing, is you want to, you know, kind of connect with her heart and what's most important. And sometimes it's so easy to do, and I've done this too with my kids, and my kids correct me on it, because we get caught up in the demonstration of the Christian life instead of the heart connection of the life.
Well said.
That's true.
I would say your expectation of what her life was going to be might have to be something you grieve.
Yes.
Because you don't actually get to decide it for her. And what Jill just said, it's about her heart. Does she know Jesus? You may think that if she's in a same-sex relationship, she couldn't possibly know Jesus, but that's not in the Bible anywhere. And so she may very well have her own personal relationship with Jesus, or that's at least what we want to gear her towards. So we are gearing her towards knowing Jesus, not necessarily focusing on gearing her away from same-sex relationship. Let the Holy Spirit work on that if that needs to be worked on at all. And that's up for Him. You just you're saying the struggle in your you're seeing struggle in your family, and you want to know how can you all be a family and not let this tear you apart by letting go of your expectation of what her life should look like.
You know, I really do believe that it's always God's intention for a man and a woman to be married. I also believe it's God's intention for sex to occur inside of marriage between a man and a woman. And people might say, well, that's just so old-fashioned or whatever. Well, it isn't really. And at some point, you have to say, there has to be a limit on what is right and what is wrong. Social media says there is no limit on what is right and what is wrong. In social media worlds, what is right is what feels right, comfortable, or good. And so in this day and age, I don't know what her path is, but I've been trying to go beyond this answer that we always give of, well, you just have to love them. And here's what I believe. I believe in this day and age, often the concept starts with content. They see something online. It causes arousal, and if you are aroused by anything, you're told, well, then that's your identity, or you wouldn't be aroused by that. That content then oftentimes leads to some kind of content, contact with some other person. They make a connection with some other person, and all of a sudden, they're in a community of people that believe this is what we were destined to be. This is how we were created. There was a time when people would believe God intends for men and women to be married and be sexual in that marriage, and you might be aroused by a lot of other things, but that doesn't mean that's destiny or identity. You just have to realize that that's something you don't want to feed so that you can be the person that God has created you to be. I know that that's an oversimplification, but I'm going to tell you, I would explore with her, how did you come to this place where you believe that whatever it was that was arousing to you was your identity or your destiny? Because I got to tell you, I heard one of the most secular liberal voices say the other day, if you're on social media and you're like what we used to call a tomboy, and this person said, I knew a lot of tomboys, girls that you know, wore jeans and all this stuff. They grew up and they had a great life. But now, if you're a tomboy, you are not a tomboy in social media. You're a boy. And you have to live with that. And you have to adjust to that. And you're locked in. And this guy, who is not a Christian, is a secular human being. I don't even like to listen to him. It's so annoying to me. But he said, people don't know that social media locks them into lives that they don't have to live. And so I would really want to explore what has locked her into this belief. And
Wow.
I know anytime we talk about this issue, there are just so many folks that don't want to hear this way. But I got to tell you, we've spent a lot of time here exploring this issue.
Right.
And our theology is the same. Our compassion, I believe, in the day of social media is greater than ever before. But our theology hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. Anything, Jill, you, Jackie, you want to say before we have to go here?
Well, I would just encourage you to be open to conversation and not put your perspective over her perspective. Be able to sit and hear what she has to say.
Okay.
The questions that Steve is asking, you can't get answers to those if you are telling her what she thinks and telling her that this is what happened.
Right.
Let her tell you. So just be curious.
So
ask
those
questions.
Take the energy out of your voice even.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You have to be at a really calm place where there's no agenda.
Mm-hmm. Just open to what she's sharing and take what she's sharing as her understanding of it and her truth. You were saying the relationship is the issue. So focus on being in relationship with her, being with her and getting to know her and being a safe space for her so she's not getting locked into those other groups of people where she can show up as her full self and that be accepted. Be a place where she can come as her full self and that be accepted so that as she's making some different choices down the line, she knows that home is a place where she can come back to, but be open to hearing her perspective as well.
Yeah, and there are, aren't a lot, but there are groups out there of parents, Christian parents wrestling with these issues, and they have no place to go. They don't feel comfortable a lot of times at church, and so they gather. So you have to do a little research to find them, but they're out there.
And there's a lot of family, you know, in our families, they don't approve of that lifestyle, and so we just feel like she's really, you know, closing the door on so many things. It's just, it's really tough.
It is tough.
I just wouldn't ever give up your relationship with her. I would just persevere through all of that. And, you know, I use this term toxic tribal affinity, where professionals that know that not everybody is the same and that a lot of people are involved in stuff that they don't need to be. But because they will not stand up and be the secular therapist that says, you know what, I don't really believe this in every situation, they just keep people locked in. And when it comes to gender and transitioning, a lot of folks are going down a path that they don't have to.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you called.
It's a different world for sure.
Yep.
Yes, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I hope you find that to be helpful. And speaking of that, Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio, and he's helped us take a lot of lives back for the Lord. Larry, how you doing today, and what do you have for us?
Doing great, Steve. I'm still a little bit in disbelief that we're about to enter another year.
What did you do with it? I mean, it's just incredible.
I know. There's one day left, and you know, one of my roles is trying to help people learn about how to give and what to give and when to give. And there's a day left in this year, and there's three things I want to say. One is thank you if you've already given this year or if you're still contemplating that. Thank you for your gift. The other thing is if tax deductibility is important to you, if you mail your gift, it must be postmarked 12/31 or sooner. If it's postmarked in January, it will not be a 2021 tax deductible gift. And that's not our rule, that's the IRS. And then I want to just remind folks, we have a match, Club New Life. If you sign up for Club New Life by tomorrow, whatever amount you sign up for to give monthly, if you multiply that by 12, we have someone who will match that right now. So if you give $30, we'll get the $360 match today. Mm. If you give $100, we'll get $1,200 match today. So consider that. It's a great program.
Please do. So we'll send you 100 Days to Freedom from Depression. We really love you. We care about you. We're thankful for everyone that has given. And if you haven't, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. What's the text to give? Larry, do you know the number?
25390, I think.
You text New Life to 25390?
Maybe we need to come back.
Somebody,
yeah, we'll come back. I don't have it in my head. I'm
we'll
sorry.
Be back after this.
All right.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and that texting is you text New Life to 2895. That's the number, 2895, and you can give by texting. Is that
28950.
That's exactly right, 28950. Okay, so it's four numbers.
Five
or whatever.
It's a zero.
28950, the number zero, and you text New Life to 28950. I doubt anybody, this has been such a difficult thing to just communicate, anybody's going to do it. So you might be the only person, but it would be helpful. And we're so thankful for all that do support us. Right now, I would like to talk with a gentleman named Jason from Joplin, Missouri. Sirius XM is the station he listens to, and we're glad that he does. It's channel 131 at 10 a.m. Pacific. Jason, how are you doing today? What's going on in your life?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to preface my question with, you know, my wife and I have been married for, well, I guess 89 months now.
And there you go.
89 months. Well, anyway, we both had come from previous marriages. Both, I mean, I've failed in multiple relationships, and it wasn't. And I've read many, many, many relationship books over the years, but it wasn't until I read How We Love this last summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that woke me up. Mm-hmm. It made me a little bit angry at first. Like, why didn't God tell me about this so much sooner?
Well, what do you think was the big revelation there in your life? What did you realize
that was? And, well, when I learned what my love style was, and what it, you know, from my family of origin around abandonment uh-huh. issues, that I would be very much was considered a vacillator.
Uh-huh.
My wife and I both came from broken homes and very chaotic childhoods, but she went just the opposite direction. She became the avoider.
Uh huh. Right.
And so, throughout our 89 months, it's been, you know, a lot of ups and downs and some pretty deep lows, and then, you know, and then some good times. And then after I read that book and got her to read it, I mean, it seemed like it just transformed.
Oh, that's,
I mean,
so good. Have you guys ever been to the? Have you been to the
intimacy and marriage
event?
Well, after I read that book, I'd ask her if she would go to that with me, and she's a teacher and she teaches high school, and it's very hard during the school year for her to get off, and she
sure.
said she would, but we were doing so well and everything, and she thought that maybe you know, that we could wait, or you know, or she's, or what her words was, maybe we could pay for a couch, you know, or, you know, go speak to somebody. But things have been going real well, and what I have learned over the years is that when it comes to the end of each semester, it becomes very, very busy for her, to the point where, I mean, she's not a teacher that can just leave her work at school. She has to bring it home with her, and it becomes very hard for her to do that. Well, on top of all the other life struggles, marriage struggle, you know, just over the years, and, you know, a little over a year ago, our son found out he was type 1 diabetic. It's my stepson, but, you know, that's really been weighing on her pretty hard. But when things get tough, for me, as a vacillator, it seems like the first thing that goes is the relationship. It's the first thing that gets put on the back burner.
Uh-huh.
And she shared with, and this within the last week, it felt like to me, like just out of nowhere, you know, she's avoiding me again. And, you know, and trying to be understanding and give her the space that she needs, and, you know, how can I support you? What do you need from me? What, you know, and, but I don't get, the more I ask, the more resentful she gets towards me and about asking, you know. And so, I mean, I'll, you know, I travel during the week, you know, Monday through Thursday, so I'm gone during that time and
okay.
For work.
So, So tell us, try to help us with a question. What is it that's troubling you the most? What how could we help you here?
Well, we're in one of those seasons now where she's struggling with stuff, and you know, just out of the blue, she became, you know, just, I mean, she's gone full on deep avoiding, you know, conversations with mm-hmm. me, talking to me about anything. And and it brings up, you know, brings up my old fears of abandonment. And the more I ask questions, the deeper she goes and the more resentful she gets. And I just, mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to support her. I don't know how to handle my own emotions on that, because I thought we were doing great. I was on a high, and all of a sudden it just tanked.
I'm going to make a comment, and then I'm going to turn this over to Jackie and Jill. But here's the comment. I don't know of any couple who's had trouble that doesn't slip back into some trouble after you've had some change and some transformation. And the key, and that's what we want to help you with, how do we repair this? How do we get this thing back on track? It's not hopeless, I think, given what you've told me. If you do a few things, things are going to be okay again. But Jackie, let's start with you, and then Jill. What do you think is a good next step for him?
Hi, Jason. I would say she's an avoider, and I wonder, in my imagination, I think you looked over and you saw her kind of pulling away and going into herself, and that did something inside for you, and you might have assumed she's upset and you want her to talk about it, but what she's doing is working really hard to keep it together. And so let her keep it together and treat her like there's nothing wrong, because the problem's not between the two of you. She's not gone away. She's just trying to take care of herself because she's so overwhelmed with the end of the semester.
Yeah, I think that's true. Jill, what are you thinking here?
Jason, did you want to say something real quick?
Well, and I agree with that. However, when she, you know, when I ask her what's wrong, she references the last, you know, the last 9 years that we've been together. We've been married for over 7 of those, and she always brings it back to all the decisions she's made over the last 9 years, and that's what makes me fearful that, you know, that the relationship is in trouble, but she just doesn't want to say.
Hold on.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits, like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterburn. You're talking with Jason, and you, both of you, have some great insights here. You're talking about at the break. What do you think needs to happen here?
So, Jason, I wanted to share. I teach as well, and I'm also the avoider in my marriage, and my husband is the vacillator. So,
perfect.
Towards the end of the semester, I get so overwhelmed with all the things that I need to do that I'm just keeping my head above water. And as an avoider, I can't do emotion. Emotion takes a lot of energy for me. I have to choose to show up emotionally. I have to choose to open myself up. I have to choose to tune in emotionally. And it's heavy. We've also been in a pandemic trying to teach for the past couple of years as well. And so when you notice that she's starting to pull away, if you think in your mind she's pulling away from me, then you go to that place of abandonment. But if you were to shift that in your mind and maybe reframe that and realize she's turning into herself so that she can be okay, and that there's something different about her turning into herself than turning away from you, you might be able to tolerate it a little more. And then maybe knowing that as we come to the end of semesters, you're going to need to have some really good self-care, because she's not going to be able to give you the level of emotional attunement and connection that you really desire. But just because she has her resting face on doesn't mean she's angry. It doesn't mean she's angry with you. And sometimes we start to treat people the way we think they feel, and then we end up creating conflict. Mm-hmm. Because just because my husband looks upset doesn't mean he is. If I asked him, hey, are you upset? And he says no, and I don't believe that, and I start to avoid and be away from him, then he is going to be upset. And then I'm going to say, yep, see, there you go. You were upset. Well, I just created my own worst nightmare. Mm. So when you notice that she is distant or being short, rather than start asking her what's wrong, notice that she needs space and give her that, because the what's wrong isn't helpful to her. It might be helpful to you if she noticed that about you and she were to start asking you questions. That feels like connection. When you do it, it feels like something else she has to take care of. And so try not to necessarily be that.
Right, right.
Jill, your thoughts
here? Well, and your anxiety, Jason, in that, exactly what Jackie was describing, then creates kind of a neediness. You're looking for reassurance. And this is a time when your pursuit of reassurance is going to push her away. And so I know that it's counterintuitive for you. So as you start to get anxious, it's good to look at the whole of the relationship and look at the history that you've had. And you guys, you've had some really good times, and some things have been working really well, okay, mixed in with the bad times. That's the normal course of a relationship. And so, but hold on to the fact that whether things are good or difficult, you guys have managed through.
You have a good relationship.
Yes.
Right now is just a low season, and not because there's anything wrong with either of you, mm-hmm. but because of the stressors of life. And you can't take those stressors of life and make them a bad omen in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
time.
Not
everything needs to be about is the relationship going to make it or not make mm-hmm. it. It's more, oh, okay, we're in a little bit of a rough patch here,
yep.
okay? And then maybe looking to summer to get involved in our workshop in intimacy and marriage when she has time off.
Yeah.
And then also, I really think you need some good, solid counsel from a good male counselor that can...
Well, male friends.
And then, yeah, the network of other men, too, will help.
Well, I've got a really strong network of male friends and Christian men I've had around me for a long time and stuff. I guess for me, where it gets confusing is if I don't ask what's going on, or I try to, or don't ask for her, then she calls me out on it. But if I do ask, then she tells me to back off.
So, well, if you ask,
like,
if you ask,
22 in those moments.
Yeah,
so.
You probably are. And if, but if you say, "Hey, are you okay?" and she says yes, let that be. If you say, if you notice something, I think it's okay to say, "I noticed that you seem a little down. Is everything all right?" And then just don't push for an answer, because just you asking let her know that you saw her.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. All right. I appreciate it.
And nothing wrong with saying, "Oh man, this time of year is so tough on mm-hmm. all teachers."
Showing
what's going
a little
on?
Empathy me, for her. Make it about her.
Mm-hmm. What's happening there? And that might really help. And I'm going to send you a copy of The Soul of a Hero. And I think there's some great men building concepts here that Dave and I've put in this. And we really do believe in men being heroes, but not finding desperate people to be heroes too.
Maybe
let's go
the therapist that specializes in how we love to maybe helping them find a therapist that's familiar with attachment, and that could be helpful for the two of you.
And I just know that he would love the workshop. Both of them would mm-hmm. if they can get there.
Yep.
How about we go to Randy, Omaha, Nebraska. KCRO is the station. Randy, how are you today?
I'm good. Yourself?
Doing all right. What's the question for us? What are you struggling with today or dealing with?
It's marital issues. My wife seems to think I am a narcissist.
What do you think?
By how I treat her.
What do you think?
I don't know that I'm a narcissist, but I do have tendencies like my dad, and my dad is not a very kind person to anyone. So I do have some of his traits, and that's something that she has stated as of recent, is that I am becoming my dad, or that I am my dad.
How's that feel?
I don't want... It doesn't feel good.
Yeah. So she has a fear of that. She's giving you some feedback on how she's experiencing you. What's it, you know, and what it's like to be with you. And a lot of times people will throw out labels like that, but what they often really mean is they're seeing traits, or they're seeing, you know, some symptoms that they fear.
Correct.
So what do you think? Is there, whether you're a narcissist or not, what is it you might be able to adjust that takes you away from being like dad?
Just how I verbalize, I guess. Things that I say, how I say them, I guess, is where that comes into play, I believe.
How do you say things?
My wife says that I talk down to her, which, in a sense, I can see that. So,
that's a pretty common problem that us men have to face, and it's a really wonderful thing when we decide we're not going to be that way anymore.
So what is it what is it that you are feeling towards your wife, right, that lends you to talk down to her? Or what is it you're feeling about yourself that you need to somehow be elevated?
I don't know that I have an answer for that.
But I think it's something then to reflect on, right? Because there's changing the behavior, which is important to do, okay? But then there's also looking at, well, why do I have this need?
Right, why do I do what I do?
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody has some narcissism in them.
Yes.
And the good news for you and your wife is that whatever level you have, it didn't prevent you from calling. Because extreme narcissist says, oh, how stupid can you be? I'm one of the most loving, caring people ever. There's no narcissism in me. I have nothing. There's nothing wrong with me. But you made the phone call. And so you're not, if you are a narcissist, it's not a hopeless kind. And I've actually got a book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Narcissistic Personality Disorder. I'll send it to you. You guys may be going through that together. You can find not only that you're not the extreme version, but also how do we deal with that, and what do we do? I'm proud of you for making the phone call and not just saying, not me.
And owning some of the traits, too.
Yeah.
That you could say, there's some things about my dad that are not that great, and some of them, I do that, too. That usually narcissists aren't able to do. And so I think that goes a long way towards showing that you have the ability to look at yourself and look at your stuff and do something about it. So hopefully that book can be really helpful for you.
And it sounds like your wife may be wanting a little more empathy and a little more consideration, because sometimes narcissism is synonymous with selfishness.
And you hadn't been taught that. If your dad was a narcissist, or your dad wasn't the best communicator of emotions, or the most empathic person, you may not know how to do that. So it might take you reading some different things. How We Love could be helpful. And learning just how to communicate, going through the comfort circle, and being able to show someone deep empathy and concern for their position might be a bridge towards repairing some of the ruptures you've maybe had with your wife.
We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Jackie Mack Harris, Dr. Jill Hubbard. If you need anything, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We really do want to help you in any way we possibly can. And to that end, we're going to go to another caller here. And I want to talk with, how about we talk with Gail from Toms River, New Jersey, and she watches our program on the YouTube channel. Hi, how are you, and how could we help today?
Hi, Steve. I've been wanting to call for a while. I'm a little nervous. I'm a school teacher in New Jersey. I've been teaching for like 23 years.
Okay.
And the reason I'm calling is because over the summer, I've been suffering with anxiety, depression for years, and I just this year working because I was really anxious about everything. We have mask mandates here in Jersey, and I was really having a severe anxiety about that. And I had requested a doctor's note from my psychiatrist because I wanted to just not have to wear one. And he did write me a note and everything, and I went through this whole big thing with my district. They were really pushing back against it. I had asked also for like a religious exemption as well as a medical.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was they, first of all, denied that he was really my doctor, and they thought it was not real doctor. Anyway, so I spoke with my doctor, and he said, don't worry, I'm going to write you another note. At the time, I had COVID, and I'm a single mom with two special needs boys, and so their father was actually in the hospital with COVID for a couple weeks, and I was panicking about everything.
Oh, my goodness.
I love the Lord, but I took my eyes off the Lord, and I did a really bad thing. I didn't think my doctor was going to write me a note, even though he told me, because I wasn't really thinking clearly. And the day I went to work, I actually was panicking, and I didn't get the note on time, so I did write a note in his name with his I didn't put a signature on it, but I don't know what I did wrong. I mean, I know what I did wrong, but I went to work, and I didn't have the note from the doctor at the time, and I did something really stupid, and I gave him this note that I put together. And so I got through the day, but then I found out after work that my administration called me, and they told me that I was suspended with pay because of the note that I turned in. Yeah, and so that day, actually, after I spoke with him, I got the note from the doctor in my email, so I had the real doctor's note. Anyway, so they ended up having me arrested for writing that, submitting a forged note.
Wow.
So, so I've been home for 3 months. They wanted to, actually...
Okay, so I am almost out of time, and I wonder how we could help you. I'm really sorry what you've gone through here.
How can we help? How can it help me is I'm having a hard time dealing with moving forward in my life because now I want to, I'm going to be losing this job and I have to go find a new job. And I'm just having a real panic attack about how I'm going to get a job. And since I have this on my record.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is.
Okay.
I'm in a situation where I feel it's like, hopeless.
Yeah, well, that is the one thing we were just talking about. There is always hope for us who believe. There's always hope, and I think there's going to be hope here, but it's just not going to be easy. What are you two ladies thinking here? You're a teacher, Jackie Mack Harris. Why don't we start with you?
Well, I'm really sorry that this is happening to you, and you're struggling with dealing with the guilt and the shame about it all, and how to move forward. And I think this is going to take time, and it's going to be about a grieving process, because you'll have to grieve this loss and accept these hard choices, and yet at the same time you're still dealing with the anxiety of everything that's going on in the world right now. Do you have a therapist?
Mm-hmm.
I know you mentioned psychiatrist, but do you have a therapist that you can meet with weekly?
Yeah, I'm actually looking for a Christian therapist, a biblical counselor in this area. I haven't been able to really find somebody.
Okay. Yeah, that would be my recommendation. Finding a good Christian therapist that can work with you on the anxiety as well.
But, Gail, I think there's also making amends, right? When we've done something wrong, I mean, okay, when we take things into our own hands, like you did, okay? And a lot of times people do that. They're kind of panicked. They're anxious. And when we're anxious, it cuts off our thinking and our good judgment. So, but we still have consequences. Even if we're not in our right mind, there's still consequences. And so we have to, I think, accept those, kind of own that you made a mistake, but also make amends to the people that you harmed. I would think the doctor, for one, right? And the district.
Yeah, I've already made amends with him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or your school. And then I would say now when you interview, you have to own this. You have to own it.
I do.
And just, I think, be proactive, and you're going to have to put it out there instead of trying to hide it, because shame tries to hide things, and we need to bring our shame into the light.
And it will grow in the darkness, and so if you try to keep it hidden, that's where the shame monster just gets bigger and bigger.
And I want to say this, obviously I'm an advocate for Christian counseling. I think you need that. But I think also you need to look at the possibility of being of wiping this thing out, of getting beyond it, and you need to be sure you're going to a professional that is respected in the community, because you might need to go to court one day and him testify. This is amazing. In her anxiety, her desperation, she did these things. She felt horrible. She went to work. And this is not her. And it's coming from someone that they respect versus somebody that, you know, just happens to be a Christian and is doing counseling. So I want to make that appeal to you there. And then I think it's really important that you do everything you can. Women's Bible studies, more contact with people. Get it out there. Learn to get over that shame. God doesn't want you having that shame, so that you can get beyond this. You got to forgive yourself. And I know God will forgive you.
Right.
But you have to forgive yourself. That's going to be the biggest battle. And so the more open, I think the easier that's going to go. I mean, look at the mistakes I've made. I'm open about these mistakes, because if I'm not, I'm on the back ward of a state mental hospital or something. So it is in openness that we can find some healing, real, really good healing. Let me just mention before we go, and by the way, I'll send her Healing is a Choice, Take Your Life Back. I think those are going to be great books for her. But let me just tell you, we've got these great workshops that we're doing. And we do them, and we can do them, because people have given money. And we have a guy that went to Every Man's Battle, and he said this: I've spent $50,000 on addiction clinics and therapists, and Every Man's Battle was the one place that all the issues got clarified. The place I came to understand things I did not understand. Now, that's what your support goes toward. I've got people saying they've given, and they've been blessed, and they've got families that they fortunately were together with this past Christmas. And that's because people gave and supported this ministry. And that was our 34th Christmas that New Life celebrated, because people supported us. We feel like in many ways we're just getting started, but we need your help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It is not too late to give. You could give today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or you could call and let us help you with whatever struggle you're going through. Thank you, Dr. Jackie Mack Harris, and thank you, Dr. Jill Hubbard. You guys are great. Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
Happy New Year.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.